Good evening, Rabotai, Ishtabach Shemo. So we haven't done this for a while. Sha'arei Teshuvah, we're in Musar. Let's just get a little re-antiquated for a second. Yeah, we started Lamed He last time. I think we're up to Lamed Vav. Last time we were speaking about, if you remember, Teshuvat HaMishkal. Remember that? That was part of the Teshuvah process, is looking to rectify, not only to rectify one's deeds, but in the same area that a person erred, to try to make a, you know, to try to rectify it over there. If a person used his hands inappropriately, so use your hands to do mitzvot. V'chen al zeh aderech. Yeah, if a person caused fights among people, try to be rodef shalom. Yeah, ohev shalom v'rodef shalom. Also, to fix it, but minei obey, as they say. So we're up to Ot Lamed Vav, page Yutet, Ot Lamed Vav. We're rocking and rolling. Baruch haba. Rock and roll. Now he says, Ha'ikar achadasa. This is huge. Chipus derachav. Looking into your ways for a person to introspect. Ka'inyan sheneemar, Nachpesa derachinu v'nachkora v'nashuva ad Adonai. We will look into our actions and investigate them and return to Hashem. V'yasechin lishlosha dvarim. There are three reasons to do this. Ha'echad, lema'an yizkor kol ha'dvarim shechata alem v'yitvadeh al kulan, ki avidui me'ikare kapara. The first reason why you're introspecting is in order to remember all the things you did. Eventually you're going to forget. You got to sit down and kind of rewind the tape. By the way, introspection, this is another way to say cheshbon ha'nefesh. How often do you have to do cheshbon ha'nefesh? At least once a day. Every single day. Preferably before you go to sleep, you sit down, just because that's when the day is the freshest. You sit down, you think, what did I do today? What did I do well? What did I do not so well? Where can I improve? You know, where did I excel? It's not only beating yourself up, it's also looking to see where you made progress. That's also a good thing, to give yourself chizuk. It's important all the time. If you have to write it down, write it down. If there's things that you have to be mechazik, make sure you have it clear. So this is the cheshbon ha'nefesh, that's what it does, number one. Number two, Hasheni, leman yeda kama lo avonot v'chataot v'yosif leikana. Number two, you'll start, wow, when you start thinking about it, how many avonot do we have? So many. That's a very bad feeling. And that causes the neshama to break and surrender. That causes a person to really be chozer b'tshuva. Forget about, you know, thinking about specific avonot, but thinking about the multitude of avonot that we do in any given day, week, month, year, whatever it is, it's a very scary thought, and it causes a person to have hachna'a, midat hachna'a, which is breaking your soul. V'ashalishi, כי אף על פי שהוא מקבל עליו לעזוב כל חטא, צריך שידע הדברים אשר חטא עליהם כדי לעשות בהם גדרים ולשמר מאוד לנפשו בהם ממערב היצר. You have to know what your sins are in order, even when you do teshuvah, wonderful, you did teshuvah, but you still have to know what the sins were that you did in the past, so you can make גדרים. Rabbi Yonah has spoken about this multiple times since the beginning of Sha'arei Teshuvah. גדרים are the name of the game. גדרים are what? Fences. עשו סייג לתורה. Make, just like the Chachamim made fences around the Torah, a person has his own avonot that he's going to make fences around, because your nisyonot are not mine, and everybody's got their own nisyonot, and everybody has their own pitfalls, so you have to make sure that you're aware of it. The only way, you know, we're in a generation today that everybody's into awareness. There's a course that they give in my daughter's school now, I forgot what it's called. It's being aware of yourself, aware of what's going on. I forgot the... Self-awareness, but there's a different...
Mindfulness.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. It's... And... Shkoyach. And they come and there's a psychologist who comes to talk to them. It's not like rocket science. It's just getting in touch with yourself. But we live in a generation that we're so... You know, everybody's basically just a machine. You know, we're all a bunch of machines and plugged into stuff all day long. So when we unplug the machine and try to... Look deep inside, they call it, there's a nice name for it, mindfulness, self-awareness, all this stuff. This is ABCs of Musar, knowing yourself. Da'i tatzmecha, before you know anything else, da'i tatzmecha. You got to know what's inside in order to know how to, you know, how to protect yourself against future attempts of the Yetzer Hara to bring you down. Because just because you're mindful doesn't mean the Yetzer Hara stops working. The Yetzer Hara never stops working. So you got to be on your, you know, on your best behavior.
כי נפשו עלולה בהן אחרי אשר נחלו ועיניו ושלט יצרו בהם
Once you are, like we've spoken about before, in orthopedics, every time a bone gets sprained or broken, fractured, that bone is never the same again. That muscle, that ligament is never the same. It's now injured. And once something is injured, what happens now to the body? It's now more injury prone. But it healed. Nachon. But what? Since it's already been injured, it's injury prone. That's the way a person works as well with averot. Once a person does an averot, even if he's chozer b'tshuva shlema, which is best case scenario, but a person is still prone. He has that netiya, that leaning in him, that tendency. So you got to work on it. V'hinei nafsho chola me'amasim ahim. V'acholek asher yachel le'avri tzarech lizaher me'arbe'a inyanim shelo yachzeru lechol yom. Says exactly this mashal that I just gave. When a person is, very interesting, let's say a person was ill, and now he's on the bend, he's getting better. He's not out of the woods yet. If he's not careful, it's like they tell you, l'havdim, what happens if a person was sick and the doctor tells him to take antibiotic? What's the thing that doctors and pharmacists always tell you about antibiotics? Finish the course. Always finish the course. Why? Go ahead.
If you don't take it, the bacteria becomes resistant.
It doesn't fully kill it, and then it comes back with a vengeance. That's exactly that. Tshuva is the antibiotic. But you got to finish the course. You got to keep, you got to be on your toes. You got to make sure not to let the Yetzer Hara back in, because if you don't finish fully healing, then a person can get sick again, chas v'shalom, with the avonot, and sometimes it can even be worse.
What's fully healing? You just keep being mechazek in it?
Nechaura. And there's no real end to it, because teshuva, like we said, is doesn't have any, there's no expiration date on teshuva. There's no never a time, okay, I'm done. We learn from David HaMelech, v'chatati negdi tamid. David HaMelech constantly, time and time and time again, always was chozer b'tshuva. And even though the Gemara tells us several times, the Gemara says Masechet Shabbat, David chata eno l'to'ed. David HaMelech did not do any sin, and yet Hashem took him to task for a sin that he didn't even do. David HaMelech, for the rest of his life, was chozer b'tshuva for a sin that he didn't do. Can you imagine? Okay, what about us? With Bathsheba. Bathsheba, yeah? Now, Vaitar, Ikar HaShnemasa.
The Gemara says he was forgiven.
Gemara says he didn't sin. Gemara says several reasons why what can be perceived as an Avera was not really an Avera. The Gemara talks about Masechet Ketubot, Daftet Amud Bet, that anybody used to go out to. What was the sin? The sin that we're talking about is Eshet Ish. David HaMelech Chas V'Shalom did not do the sin of Eshet Ish. Yeah, for several reasons. Uriah wrote a get to his wife, v'chule v'chule. There's different ways the Gemara gets out of how David HaMelech did a sin. But what? On David HaMelech's level, Hashem took him to task because the way he got to it, Hashem felt was inappropriate. And David HaMelech was chozer b'tshuva, not for Chas V'Shalom Eshet Ish, Chas V'Shalom. But David HaMelech felt that it was such a grave sin. It was tamid chozer b'tshuva. Now, Lamed Zayin, Ha'ikar HaShnemasar, the 12th principle of tshuva. Tzarech shiachkor v'yeda v'yakir godel ha'onesh lechol echad me'avonotav. This is to think and to realize the extent of punishment for any one of our given avonot. You have to know that all of our avonot are punishable. One of the 13 Ikarim that the Rambam brings down is that a person, in order to be considered a believing Jew, with the Ani Ma'amin Be'emunah Shlema, is a person has to believe in Sachar Va'onish. It's not all about Sachar. There's people love to hear about the Sachar. Sachar, reward is great. When it comes to punishment, there's certain places out there, no, we don't want to hear about that, talk positive, it's positivity, only positive. Baba, Katuv Torah. Yeah. Ve'aya im shamoa tishmeo en mitzvotai asher anochi mitzvotai. Le'ahav. Wonderful, yeah? And then what does the Torah do? Same paragraph. Hishamru lachem, pen yifte levavchem, visartem, avatem lamechem. Bechara. We say it quietly, so what do you think, it doesn't exist? We say it quietly, nachon. Bechara af Hashem bachem, v'atzarat ha-shamayim. Sachar va'onish. We say it every day. The Gemara says, why do we say the three parashiyot of Shema? What's special about the three parashiyot of Shema that we say every day? Shema ve'ahavta is what? Kabbalat ol malchut shamayim. Yeah? Then you have ve'ayayim shamoa. What's that? Then you have olam mitzvot, the yoke of mitzvot, plus sachar va'onesh. You have in there sachar va'onesh. And parashat vayomer, yitziat mitzrayim. Nachon tzitzit, but the whole parasha we say is because of the last pasuk. because of Yitziat Mitzrayim. What do you see? Sechar Va'onish is a huge theme in Judaism. You can't ignore it. It's not, you know, for as much as a person wants to be positive, it's there. If you believe in the Sechar, you got to believe in the Onish also. There can't be reward without punishment. It doesn't work like that. There's nothing in life that works like that. When do you ever get reward if there's no punishment? It's not. There's responsibility. There has to be some sort of responsibility for your actions. Be'ezem em, so he says, Be'ezem em yesh malkut, uve'ezem em yesh chayave kritut, uve'ezem yesh chayave mitot bedin. Different avirot in the Torah have different punishments. Some are lavim. Lavim have malkut. Some lavim don't only have malkut, they have kritut. Arayot, midah, chametz ba'pesach, achilah b'yom ha-kippurim, chilul shabbat. Yeah, all these things. Some of them are even chayavim. Chilul shabbat, not b'farhesia, is b'karet.
Is he saying that we have to know what each...
should.
What type of punishment each action carries, or just we should know the concept of...
No, you should know every avira that a person does, he should associate that with the punishment that he deserves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is El Rachum Echanun El Chapaim, and he doesn't strike us dead for the avonot that we do, that's a tremendous chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It doesn't mean we don't deserve it. Person can be thinking, hey, you know what, I probably don't... No, we deserve it. The fact that Hashem is Gomel Chasadim, you know, Ad Lenetzach Netzachim, that's the first Perek of Tomer Devorah. Look how much chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. We revolt against HaKadosh Baruch Hu so egregiously, and He keeps us alive, and He gives us parnasa as we're doing Avonotim. What, can you imagine the Godin Ha'anava and the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shtabach Shemo? But, nevertheless, a person has to be aware of the punishments that that a person gets for these Avonot. Why? Leman yeda Godin Avono b'itvadoto. So that when you confess, when you do vidui, you know what you're confessing for. Yeah, ashamnu, bagadnu, gazanu. It's already like aleph bet. It is aleph bet. Ashamnu, bagadnu, gazanu. It follows the set of the aleph bet. But it's so cliche in our mouths. It's like saying Shabbat Shalom. Ashamnu, bagadnu. No, think about it for a second. You think about the avonot that you do and the punishment that you're liable for. That's a terrifying thought. Yeah.
Didn't Rabbi tell us that if we're in an Ashkenazi meaning to go do it fast? Not.
Yeah, I'm not saying don't do it fast, but it's supposed to be associated with, you know, the words Ashamnu Bagadnu Gazalnu, that whole paragraph is supposed to engender feelings of charata and tshuva. You know, we don't get into all of, it's not Yom Kippur where we get into all the nitty gritty of all of the avonot that start with an aleph, and then all the vidui gadol ben nisim. Yeah, we don't say that every day, not because Yom Kippur is not every day. But what? You don't have to wait for Yom Kippur to be chozer b'tshuva for specific avonot. Any day is a good day to be chozer b'tshuva for specific avonot. It's really hot in here. No? Am I wrong?
The windows open.
The windows open?
No, it's not true.
Oh, they don't open?
Oh,
yeah? I'll tell you. Yeah, I don't want to make a whole production. If it's easy. Wow. Okay. Gishmak HaMaisis. Look at that. Okay, that's fine. Don't worry. They actually put a fan in here because it gets too hot. Wow. No, that's fine. It's fine. Leave it alone. It makes too much noise. Azov. I'll tell you. I don't envy the person who deals with the HVAC system over here. In the Mir Yeshiva, for 3 years, I was in charge of the heating and air conditioning. There's a bachur. Every so often, they give a bachur the big kavod of being in charge of the HVAC system. It's probably the worst job I've ever had in my life. When you're in charge of the heating and air conditioning, everybody in yeshiva hates you. No matter what. You know that. It's either too hot or too cold. The people sitting next... So it gets too hot, and especially when they redid the... They renovated the basement. They made it beautiful. If you ever go to yeshiva, to the Mir Yeshiva, it's on the corner of Ocean Parkway and Avenue R in Flatbush. Beautiful. Made a wonderful Beit HaMidrash. Their shiva, alav shalom, when they redid it, they wanted to remodel and take away all the old benches and shtenders and whatever. He says, no, that you're not going to touch. That's vintage. You know how much Torah was learned in those? So you have a beautiful, gorgeous Beit HaMidrash with old benches and old shtenders. It's like a very, very interesting thing. But anyway, you know what radiant heating is? In-floor? So they did in-floor heating, which was new at the time. This is about longer than I care to say. About 15 years ago is when they did the... I was in second year Beis Medrash, and they did in-floor heating, which wasn't as popular back then. So in-floor heating is great because the heat rises, but what happens is that it gets really hot sometimes from radiant heating. So sometimes people got really hot, and then the people on the sides of the Beis Medrash, they open the windows. The problem is the people sitting next to the windows in the middle of, you know, right next to the windows, it's freezing. So it was always fights, and then who do you think always gets blamed? It's not the people who open the windows, it's always my fault. And it's always, if it's too hot, it's my fault. If it's too cold, it's my fault. If it's perfect, it's my fault. You know, I hate it. I asked the Rishiva many times. I'm like, do me a favor, just fire me. I quit. He's like, you can't quit. I don't accept your resignation. I'm like, no. Anyway, kids are such a horrible job. Terrible. Terrible. The only person in the world that's more hated than that, than the guy who takes care in yeshiva of the HVAC, is the meter maid. The guy who gives out tickets outside. That's the only person who's more hated in life. Yeah. You wake up every morning knowing that everybody hates your guts and they're cursing you and his avodah, doesn't it? I don't know. It's like, you know what I'm saying? What a career choice. Yeah, weiter.
Feels good
also. Huh? Power, yeah. I gave you a ticket. But sometimes you can learn. Hashem sends us things in life. You can learn Musar from everything. Sometimes these people have zero rachmanut. Zero. There's obviously got to be a balance. But sometimes, a minute I was here. The thing, especially now with these meters, sometimes it doesn't work. Klum. Zero feeling. Zero sympathy, empathy, rachmanut. Nothing. What happened to you? What are you, a wall? Where's your humanity? I'm not talking about being a yid. I'm talking about being a human being. No. Now, weiter. So don't be the HVAC guy and don't be a meter maid. That's the limud from today. Yeah, weiter. And he says, in Great Neck, they actually mark your tires.
Yeah.
There's a...
To see how long you've been there.
To see how long you've been there. 90 minutes. Huh? Oh, that's what I do. I just... if there's usually there's puddles around. So I just drive through a puddle and then go back. That's what I do.
Is that not considered why is that okay?
Nah. Somebody asked me, I actually wrote a tshuva one time, somebody asked me if not feeding the meter is a problem of gezin and a problem of transgressing dinah d'malchuta dinah. Very interesting tshuva I wrote about it. It's not. It's neither. I have multiple ra'ayot to that. Not to say that, again, you should pay whatever, but if you can get out of paying the meter or whatever, it's not a transgression of dinah d'malchuta dinah. Even though it is a form of a tax that they collect, they allow you to park there if you pay the meter. But I have several ra'ayot ladavar, maybe we'll talk about that at some time. Maybe for one of the series, I have a lot of choshen mishpat stuff. I don't know if you're interested. A lot of monetary law stuff, bedin cases, if you're interested in that stuff. I don't know. Some people... No. I didn't say that, Baba. I said that if you have a way to do it, it's not a problem of gizan. You should. I pay the meter. I do pay the meter. Yeah. Over there, what I'm talking about, the driving back through the puddle, that's not paid. That's just like they give you X amount of time to park there. It's a 90-minute parking, and then you have to move. So they're letting you park there anyway, and you don't have to pay for it. So ma echpat lecha if I'm there for 90 minutes or not. You know what I'm saying? Over there, I'm a little bit more meka.
But if there is a meter, let's say you can just somehow get more time out of it.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. No, it's a very interesting shot. Over here, you know, the muni meters over here, it gives you a ticket, right? Now, let's say you paid for it, and now you're done. You're not staying here for the duration. Let's say you paid for an hour, and you took care of your chore in 15 minutes. And now you see somebody, it happens all the time. Now, you want to be a nice guy. You want to give them the ticket so they can use the parking. Mutar or asur?
Mutar.
My mutar.
That spot hasn't paid for, so who parks there is not.
But the law is they want every car to pay for their own. And they specifically made that system. They want you to put more money and park less. You understand? They just want to make money off you. La halacha is mutar to share your ticket with somebody else because it's zeneh nevzeh lachaseh, like you said, yes, I did pay for that spot, and he has like a migo. What's the migo? I could have stayed here for that amount of time. So what do you care? You lose nothing. Buy a different car.
They gained another car paying and another ticket.
They did lose that. Huh? Because they have a minimum requirement of times. Like I had to pay for like, it was automatically $1. It was like 2 hours. There was no minimum. Like you could not do less time than that.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a case where you pay 25 cents for 15 minutes. Let's say on Main Street, whatever. Over there, so let's say I paid for an hour. Okay, and I want to give somebody else my tickets. Mutar if you want. Again, it's not, even though technically they're losing out, they're not really losing out, they're just not gaining the fee of the other person.
That's not a loss.
No.
Can you be there for more time? Let's say, like, you know they're not going to come in the next half an hour. Can you stay for an hour?
That's the same shaila as parking without feeding the meter. Same idea. Let's say you know for sure. Let's say, you know, it's during COVID and none of the meter maids are out. Are you allowed to park there without feeding the meter? It's the same thing. You cut it, Dean. There's no bayah. You should, but it's not a problem against it. Now, hala. Says the, sometimes in halacha we get to musar, and sometimes in musar we get to halacha. I give you a mix of both. Yeah. So, yishtabach shemo, the Torah is so deep, the Torah is so endless. It's a drop in the bucket. Anywhere you go, yishtabach shemo, Torah kedosha. Magen Avraham asks a question in Siman Memvav. Siman Memvav is Hilchot Birkot HaTorah. So he asks, says, we know when you make Birkot HaTorah, you make it every morning. When's the next time you have to make it? Next morning. Unless you sleep. We hold is machloket shonim, unless you do shinat keva shelaila. You have a shinat keva balaila, and then you want to wake up to learn, you have to make it again. Why? Because that shina creates a hefsek, creates a hesech hadat, and then when you want to wake up again and learn, you have to make another bracha. So much so, let's say I go to sleep now. I wake up in an hour. I go to sleep on my bed. That's considered shinat keva shelaila. Even if I didn't change into pajamas, even my clothes, it's considered shinat keva shelaila. I wake up in an hour, I want to learn Birkot HaTorah. I go back to sleep for an hour, I wake up again, I want to learn again Birkot HaTorah. At what point do I stop making Birkot HaTorah? Alot HaShachar. Once it hits Alot HaShachar, even if I go back to sleep afterwards, that's considered shinat keva shel yom, and Sabal dictates that I won't make another bracha. Magen Avraham says, I don't understand. He says, Magen Avraham is one of the foremost mefarshim on Or HaChaim. Says, I don't understand. You're telling me that anytime there's a hefsek, hesech hada'at, by Talmud Torah, you have to make a new bracha. That's by shena, when you sleep, you have to make a new bracha when you wake up. One second, are you busy learning all day long? What happens if you're wearing your talit, and you take off your talit and you come back, and it's after half hour? What's the halacha? Bevadai, you have to make a new bracha. Right, and even there's situations where you have to make a new bracha even within a half hour. If I didn't have kavanah to put it back on, I took it off and I thought I was going to leave it off, and then I changed my mind. I want to put it back on. Hesech hadat. You have to make a new bracha. Same thing with tefillin v'chein b'chol ha-mitzvot. Why by Torah is the only hesech hadat that we refer to sleeping? After you learn, right? You learn. Now you went home. You're eating. You're not learning. You're going to work. You're not learning. You're doing something recreational, you're not learning. By all other mitzvot, that would constitute a hesech hadat, and you would need to make a new bracha. Why by Torah is it not that way? Either you wait till the next day if you're up all night, and if you're not up all night, only shena, only sleeping is considered hefsek. What's pshat? Great question, no? I'm gonna remember this question, beautiful. So he answers, he says, Torah is different than all other mitzvot. By all other mitzvot, you're not fully immersed. Which means you're doing the mitzvah, but when you're not doing the mitzvah, you're not doing the mitzvah. Torah is not like that. Torah is the only exception of all taryag mitzvot that you are fully immersed at all times besides for sleeping. What? How so? Meaning, even when you're eating, you're learning. Even when you're going to work, you're learning. Even chutz me'akavod, when you're in the shirutim, you're also learning. How is that? Everything in life is governed by halachot. There's halachot about how you eat. There's halachot how you walk. There's halachot how you work. There's also, every step in life is governed by the Torah Kedoshah. So even if you're not actually learning out of a sefer, or writing Torah, or speaking Torah, whatever, you're living, you're acting Torah just by your regular day-to-day activities as a Jew. What a huge thing. He says, besides for when you sleep. When you sleep, you have no control over yourself, and therefore that's the quintessential hesech hadat. Although, what are you going to say? There's halachot about how to sleep as well. Nachon? But I'm not in control about my functions when I sleep. Nachon? So that's the only hesech hadat. But by everything else, I am immersed. I'm fully immersed in the Torah Kedoshah. Every step I take in the day. There is no other religion in the world that dictates to you how to walk in the street, how to eat, chutz me'akavod, how to use the restroom. What kind of, nachon? Ask any guy in the street, does your religion tell you how to use the restroom? You think you're nuts. Aval ma, shtapach shemo, look at the Torah Kedoshah. Every single thing tells you how to act b'kedusha b'taura, v'tzni'ut, and, learning and davening. The Torah Kedoshah, Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that there's more to life than learning and davening. If we could, you know, if we could learn and daven all day long, matov manayim. But not everybody has that, you know, that opportunity. But you should know that even the mundane, quote unquote, activities that we do during the day are also Torah based. That's the beauty of being a Jew. Yeah. Well, hypnosis is no different than sleep. And sleeping during the day, even Shanat Keva, we hold is not a hifsek. Because it's not the time that a person is usually...
What's missing during day and night?
Because at night, it becomes... Let's say a person takes a really deep sleep, you know, for 5 hours during the day. You know what I'm saying? During the day. And he wakes up before Shkia. Huh? Yeah, whatever it is. And he wakes up before Shkia. He still would make Birkot HaTorah. There are several Yishonim that say you do. But we hold, not that way, Maran holds Sefek Brachot La'akel, that it's not considered Shenat Keva because it's not the time that's meant for such deep sleeps, even though you did sleep. They go together. I'm just end off with a vart, a beautiful vart, that I heard from my Rishiva, Shmuel Berman, Zechat Tzedek Levracha, many times. Beautiful, beautiful vart. There's a famous Gemara in Masichet Makot Daf Yod. The Gemara says that Rav Chasda was being pursued by the Malach HaMavet. Remember this? And the Malach HaMavet was having a hard time taking his neshama because every time he came to him, La Pasik Pumim Megirsa. He was always learning, and the rule is, we learn from David HaMelech, as long as a person's learning, the Torah, Agune Agna Ve'atzule Matzla, which means the Torah protects a person. So as long as a person's learning, Malach HaMavet can't touch you. So it was time for him to go, Rav Chasda. Ma'osim. So the Gemara says that he was thinking, he was Talmid of Rav, so he was thinking about a hard passage of Shir that he heard that day, and they had like a tree outside the yeshiva where sometimes people used to go and, you know, sit, relax, think. So he climbed the tree just to think a little bit about the Shir, and the Malach HaMavet came and cracked the branch. He got startled for a second, and the Malach HaMavet was able to chop him, and that's how he passed away. That's a Gemara. Meir Shiva Alav Shalom asked, he says, I don't understand. Rav Chasda, as kadosh v'nora as he was, Amora, Gdol Ador, v'chule, but at the end of the day, he was a human being. Which means what? He's got to eat. He's got to sleep. He's got to use the restroom. There are many physical, bodily functions that he had to do to continue to exist in Olam Hazeh. So how is it that the only way Malach HaMavet was able to get him was when he was on a branch and cracking the branch and distracting and whatever? Why can't you get him when he's eating? Or sleeping? Or whatever? Huh? The Gemara says, La pasik pume migirsa, his mouth never stopped moving and learning. It's physically impossible. He's a human being. He's got to eat, he's got to sleep, he's got to do physical needs. The answer is, Pashut Meod, he says. In the life of a Jew, these random, you know, these actions that a person would think are just mundane, in the realm of Kedusha, if a person eats and sleeps and does all of the physical things but one thing on his mind, to give me kuach to learn, to give me kuach to daven, to do avodat Hashem, brachot chila vasof, and keeping the Torah as he does all these things become, these mundane activities become Torah mamash. Becomes limud Torah. It all goes by the kavana. That's why the Gemara says he never stopped learning, because all of these actions were Torah. And like the most difficult portions of the Torah. That's what it is, Rabotai. Okay, Rabotai, we're going to end it here. They started?
Yep.
Hello.